Before we turn to Yanoa's testimony, I do have some news to report. I received a note this morning that the forum at yadayahweh.com, Yada Yai is the book that I wrote that discusses prophetic testimony. It begins with the prophecies that are embedded in the creation account and then runs all the way through the prophecies of the arrival of Yahusha and providing us with an eyewitness account sometimes as much as 1,000 years in advance of what would occur in his fulfillment of the Torah's promises. That's about a 2,500-page, 3,000-page analysis of prophetic testimony. There's a forum associated with that site. Upper right-hand corner of the page, you can participate in the forum. And I've made that forum available and the site available free for better part of the last 10 years. There's also a number of other websites for books that I have written that I also make available free. One of those is Prophet of Doom. Prophet of Doom is the most comprehensive presentation of the Islamic Hadith and Quran, putting the Hadith in chronological order into the context of Muhammad's life so that the Quran can be ordered chronologically and understood. This morning, we received a information that the sites were both down. And that's fairly common because of what's called a denial of service attacks, where Muslims will try to bring down the sites by having, and in this particular case, they were making requests for access to various aspects of the sites at the rate of 10,000 per second. So 10,000 times per second, the site's resources are being requested. Now, the problem with that is that it means that anybody else trying to access the site, the servers can only handle so much, the bandwidth can only handle so much, so it just slows everyone's availability way down. And so the hosting site, and we use a cloud hosting site so that the information is available to people around the world, and it's widely distributed. The hosting cloud site had to suspend service because that's an obvious attack. We received this note when we contacted the host this morning. It said, "While investigating degraded performance on one of our load balancers, we found that the prophetofdoom.net and the forum at yadayahweh.com sites were receiving traffic at exceeding 10,000 requests per second. Unfortunately, at this time, we have placed a limit of 50 requests per second on each of these to stop this activity from affecting you and our other customers. We believe we have seen similar issues with this site in the past and will not be able to lift this restriction until action has been taken to protect the site from further attacks like this. My recommendation would be to set these sites up with DDoS protection service from Cloudflare." And that is a Cloudflare makes a denial of service program. It's if we put it into play, it's another $200 a month that I would be paying to add this layer of protection to the to these websites so that information is available to people around the world regarding the true nature of Islam and Yahweh's testimony. It is a frustrating experience. But nonetheless, that's where we find ourselves. There are many opponents to the truth. And we don't know for certain that this is Muslims attacking. Now, clearly it's the Prophet of Doom site, and the Prophet of Doom site proves that Islam is the problem, pure Islam, that it has nothing to do with Al-Qaeda or terrorists. It is just the religion of Islam as lived by Muhammad. And Prophet of Doom uses nothing as evidence other than the Islamic Quran and the four oldest hadith sources. So it's a book written entirely based upon the Islamic scriptures. And so it is it's a very difficult book for the U.S. government to deal with because they are presenting Islam as a peaceful religion, and the jihadist as those who have corrupted their religion, and Prophet of Doom proves that to be a lie. And Prophet of Doom is irrefutable. I mean, there is no way that you can rebut Prophet of Doom. You could take all the scholars in the world and have them attempt to do so. It can't be done. Not because I'm smart. It's because the way that the book is crafted, it's simply, what do the Islamic scriptures say? And if we put the Quran in chronological order and in the context of Muhammad's life using the hadith, the case against Muhammad and Islam is irrefutable. So, could well be the U.S. government. Could well be Muslims. Now, the reason that you would think it might be an odd combination to have Prophet of Doom and the forum at yadayahweh.com both affected is that about 4 years ago, I stopped updating the Prophet of Doom site. I just, you know, enough already. I've done it. I've made all the information available. I've written thousands of pages, provided so many articles here, and the entire book, Prophet of Doom, for free in three different versions, HTML, PDF, as well as MP3. And I have this forum where I've answered thousands upon thousands of emails from people around the world and posted them all under these different categories. And finally, it just got to the point where, okay, enough already. For a while, I continued to answer the Islamic emails, but didn't post them on the site. Then, for a good long while, and this is the connection to the forum at Yada Yahweh, that for the next 2 or 3 years, when I answered an Islamic email, since we were not updating the Prophet of Doom site, they were posted in the forum at yadayah.com. And because they were posted in the forum, that's the tie-in between these two, because the best case that can be made against Islam for those unwilling to study the scriptures of Islam is just to read what Muslims have to say. And so we posted that in the forum of Yada Yah, which is probably the reason for the attack. Now, I will also tell you that because of the fact that I have spent the last 7 or 8 months trying to improve Questioning Paul, which is another of the books that I've written. Questioningpaul.com is where you'll find it. Pauline Christianity is so similar to Islam. And Paul admits to being demon-possessed, just as Muhammad did. And while Paul presents a more beguiling approach to religion than did Muhammad, the fact is that every day that I'm adding to Questioning Paul and improving Questioning Paul, I'm wallowing in the muck of Satan. I'm happy to do it because it has saved so many people from the religion of Christianity, and it is an irrefutable case against Paul and against the Christian religion. In fact, there's no one that has read Questioning Paul that hasn't come to the conclusion that Paul was not only a false prophet, but that he was demon-possessed as he claimed to be, and that the religion of Christianity is wholly and completely untrustworthy as a result. The fact that I've spent 9 months of my life improving that book, and it's right now in the last chapter, it'll soon be posted, and it's in entirety with the rewrite. The last thing I want to do is spend additional time wallowing in the adversary's muck. So I have avoided going to read the incoming mail to Prophet of Doom. Haven't read it in the last 4 months. So it's been a long time since I responded to anyone there. And there's probably a threat there to do this very thing that I just haven't noticed. Anyway, that's the story. I thought I would share that because many of the listeners to this program have read Prophet of Doom. Many of the listeners to this program have participated actively in the forum at yadayah.com. And many of you have read yadayah.com. And so I wanted to keep you appraised as to why those sites were currently under attack. It is going to be increasingly more difficult to convey Yah's testimony. Now, I'm thankful for a number of people who have taken it upon themselves to take the audio of this program, to put it with video images and to post them on YouTube. I am grateful for those who have created Facebook sites that use the information that we have discovered to share with people in that forum. I'm very grateful for a good friend that has taken all of these books from The Introduction to God, Yada Yah, Questioning Paul, and has posted them on a site that not only provides the written material for your review, but also an audio of each of these books. So there are many other places where the information can be found. There's a site that takes the entirety of Prophet of Doom and presents it with a video backdrop. So the information is still available, and it's available because so many people around the world have picked up the torch. Prophet of Doom has been translated into many languages as well by people who donated their time to share the truth with others around the world. Speaking of truth, this is the statement that Yahweh made regarding the reaffirmation of his covenant. It is a statement that is wholly destructive to Christianity. It is a statement that the preceding verse is credited with being the basis for Christianity, which is where Yahweh said that he is going to create a reaffirmation of his covenant that won't be exactly like the one that he established with Abraham, with Yitzhak, and with Jacob. And that's as far as Christians will read. They'll take that statement out of context. They won't read the previous statement where God said that this reaffirmation of my covenant is going to be with Yisrael and with Yehudim as opposed to the Gentile church. They'll forget about that because that would be destructive to the mythology that there is a New Testament. And then they don't consider the statement that comes next where God says, yeah, I'm going to tell you what the one difference is going to be between the covenant that I established with Abraham and the covenant that I will reaffirm with Yisrael and with Yehudah, reconciling their relationship. God wrote as follows. Indeed, with this familial covenant relationship, which relationally I will cut with the house of Yisrael, after those days, prophetically declares Yahweh, I will actually give, providing my Torah, a complete copy of my Torah, producing my Torah, teaching and instruction within their inner nature. And upon their heart, I will actually write it. And I shall be God to and for them, and they shall themselves be family for me. When we return to Shattering Mess, I'm going to share what this means in terms of the covenant, the Torah, Yahweh, our relationship with Him, our salvation, and how it affects the myth that is Christianity. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. We're considering Yahweh's testimony. This is in Yirmiyahu, corrupted to Jeremiah 31. It's the basis of Christendom in terms of when God's statements are mistranslated and take it out of their context. It seems to give justification for the Christian New Testament. It's the only place where there's any justification for the Christian New Testament. But to do this, of course, you have to remove one comment from those that precede it and those that follow it. And then you have to misrepresent the words that are actually used. What God said here is that the difference between the existing covenant and his affirmation of the covenant is that with the existing covenant, you have to choose to study the Torah. To observe the Torah, it's a choice. You've got to go find a copy. I've got to go translate it. If you don't, you know, you even have to translate if your native tongue is Hebrew, because modern Hebrew is so influenced by the Masoretes that you really need to get to the original characters and determine what those characters convey. And so even if you were fluent in Hebrew, you still got to translate it so that it's in whatever language that you are thinking in. And so right now it's a document that we can choose to study, which is God's advice. We can choose to ignore, which is the choice most make. We can choose to reject, which was Paul's recommendation throughout Galatians and Romans and other of his letters. So you can reject it, you can ignore it, or you can choose to study it. Now, very few people choose to study it. Christians spent all their time in their New Testament, and in particularly the Pauline letters. Yosha said, you know, if you want to understand who he is and take advantage of what he has done for us, you need to read the Torah. When he gave his first public address, the largest public address and the longest public address of his entire ministry, he began by telling us that the Torah was the doorway to life and that there is no aspect of the Torah, not even a portion of any one of the letters, not even the smallest letter of any word of the Torah, is going to be cast aside, annulled, changed, until everything that the Torah says is fulfilled. And until while the heavens and earth exist. That's really interesting, his statements in this regard, because he said that that everything in the Torah, he didn't say everything in the Torah would exist forever. He said everything in the Torah will stand just as it's written, using the Hebrew, the strokes of each Hebrew letter. I mean, down to that detail, that everything in the Torah is going to stand. And that God is going to continue to honor the Torah and every aspect of the Torah and not deviate in any way, shape, or form from the Torah. While the earth and the heavens exist and while at the time that it takes to fulfill all of its promises. Now, many of the Torah's promises are not yet fulfilled. There are many promises in the Torah that are being fulfilled before our very eyes. But the Torah has a lot to say about the fulfillment of the last three mikre, which have not yet been fulfilled, and about the events that we're about to endure on this planet. But there's also something else interesting. The heavens and the earth as they currently exist. God has told us that there is going to be a time that the heavens and earth as we know them will not exist anymore, and that he's going to allow us to be witnesses while he creates a new spiritual and a new physical world, this time with us as witnesses. And we can go in on another day and talk about why he has to create a new one for us to be able to enjoy eternity, but nonetheless he does. So we get right back to the fact that the Torah has to exist as it currently does, and that's what Yahusha said, that it will exist as it currently does until every aspect of it's fulfilled and while the earth as we know it exists. It's the only means to come to know Yahweh. It's the only means to form a relationship with Yahweh. It's the only way to be saved by Yahweh. And so it's going to exist exactly as it is. But the way that it currently exists is that we have a choice. We can choose to reject it. We can choose to ignore it. We can choose to study it. That will not be the case upon Yahweh's return. When he returns, anyone who has not chosen to study the Torah, whether they have chosen option 2 or option 3, to ignore it or to reject it, upon his return, they will cease to exist. Instantly. Yahweh's return, undiminished, to our planet, will instantly vaporize all of those who have not availed themselves of the Torah's promises. That's the reality. So all of those who survive his return will be children of the covenant. Children who have chosen to study the Torah, who have chosen to have it integrated into their lives. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Just think about how utterly foolish you would have to believe, that God authorized Paul to annul everything that he had said, to say that his Torah couldn't save anyone, that his Torah enslaved, that his Torah was a really mean-spirited, outdated solution that was utterly inept, only to have God say that when I return, I'm going to make a perfect and complete copy of my Torah available not only to my children in terms of now having a perfect copy, but I'm going to literally place it inside of them, make it part of the fabric of their lives, writing it on their hearts. Now, to think that God is going to replace the Torah with this gospel of grace myth only to return to the wholesale integration and incorporation of his Torah, is lunacy. But religion is based on lunacy. Paul even admitted that he was insane. His writings are that of a psychotic individual. But think about why the covenant was originally presented, where the Torah was a document that you could choose to study, to ignore, or to oppose, and why upon his return that will no longer be the case. The same Torah exists, but now a perfect copy of the Torah is placed inside of each individual. Why one versus the other? Why the timing? Why this change? And it's not a change in teaching or guidance or instruction. It's simply a change in proximity. So, answer's pretty obvious, I think. God created us with free will, so that we have at our option the choice to come to know him, ignore him, or reject him. There is actually a fourth option that has become the most popular option, which is to create a caricature of him and to pretend that we're having a relationship with the make-believe God. Matter of fact, as I'm translating Habakkuk and the end of chapter 2 of Habakkuk, Yahweh tells us that Paul created a caricature for the express purpose of elevating his own credibility. And that's the most popular answer. The Christian Jesus Christ is a caricature. It's a pretend God. And so that's what most people choose. Now, with free will, if the Torah instruction, which is the lone means to come to know Yahweh as he is, to engage in a covenant relationship with Yahweh, and since salvation is a byproduct of the covenant, to be saved by God, since that's the lone means to do so, each individual has a choice. I'm going to study it, observe it, closely examine and carefully consider it, or I'm going to ignore it, or I'm going to oppose it. Those are your choices. And the consequences are as they are for each of those choices. Makes perfect sense. God even allows men to corrupt it. In the sense that if you read your English translation of it, they're not even remotely consistent with what God actually said. If you want to know what he said, you got to work at it. Got to look up the words. Got to study their roots, their etymology. And if you're not willing to invest that kind of time, you're going to be deceived. So, when he returns, because he's going to return at the end of the tribulation, man will have already killed more than half of the world's population. What we saw on the brink of the Syrian war, it's actually going to occur, folks. World War III is going to occur. It's the Magog War. It's going to be instigated by Islam, but the rest of the world, with Europe and the United States on one side and China and Russia on the other, well, we're going to engulf the world in nuclear war. And then there's going to be a war following that called Armageddon. And lots of people are going to die. And there's going to be all sorts of incentives to go along with and to ally oneself with HaSatan, Satan, his beast, the adversary, with the false prophet, the Torahless one that we have corrupted to the term Antichrist. And most people are going to ally with him. There'll be some who don't. Those who don't will embrace the terms and conditions of the covenant. They will receive its benefits. And so when Yahweh returns, there'll be a remnant of Yisrael. And that remnant of Yisrael will have acknowledged him by name. They will have come to embrace his Torah teaching. They will have followed the Torah's guidance. They will have accepted the terms and conditions of the covenant. They will reach up to him as their father, calling him Yahweh. And when they do, their relationship will be reconciled with him. And so when he returns as light, his light will not incinerate them, but it will everyone else. So upon his return, the only people left alive are those who chose, use their free will, to prioritize coming to know Yahweh by studying his Torah, who have accepted the terms and conditions of the covenant and who have benefited by answering the invitations to meet with him. Today is still the ongoing celebration of Sukkah, which means to camp out with God. And so at that time, we've made our choice. All of us have chosen to make the Torah part of our lives. God's just going to make it easier for us at that point. I mean, wouldn't you cry? I mean, I can't speak for everyone listening because some of you may not have made this choice. But I can tell you, as a child of the covenant, I crave having a perfect copy of the Torah and perfect understanding of the Torah. And if that's inside of me and literally part of the fabric of my life guiding me, I'm a very, very happy guy. If I could choose to do it beyond what I have already chosen, which is to study it and to embrace it and to accept it and to make it the perspective from which I view life as the single biggest priority in my life, I've done those things, and that's a good start. It's moved me into that direction. But the idea of God himself saying, here, I'm going to give you a copy of this, and I'm going to literally not only place it inside of you, I'm going to write it on your heart, because the heart is the source of the ancient world of understanding, of attitude, of volition. It's a powerful statement. And what it does, too, is it resolves one of the issues that I've always been concerned about, which is that once he returns, we receive the full empowerment of being spiritual, as opposed to being locked into these physical, decaying bodies. You know, in a three-dimensional world, we're stuck in the ordinary flow of time. We won't be. We're going to be able to explore the universe, which is probably 30 light years across. Go from one side to another, look at every aspect of it, even be able to diminish ourselves to the point we can look at the molecular structure upon which it's composed, and then go out to the largest galaxies and witness them and other planets. And it's going to be a grand trip of exploration. But I want to tell you, I don't trust myself to go off and do all of that without doing something stupid. You know, inadvertently doing something that would have a ripple effect, harming me, others, or who knows what. But recognizing that the Hebrew word Torah from the verb yara means source from which guidance and direction and instruction flows, then I know that once the Torah is written inside of me, once I have God's instruction, I'm going to be able to choose to go wherever I want, but with his instructions so that I don't do something stupid and get the full pleasure out of this time of discovery. It's a marvelous solution. The timing is perfect. And when you understand what is being offered as to why the Torah is something that we can choose to either accept, reject, or oppose, or ignore, or corrupt today. But those of us who will welcome Yahweh back to this planet as his children, that at that very moment, we've made our choice. And all of us who remain have made the choice to respect, to love, to enjoy, to study, to focus on his Torah. And we're going to get a marvelous gift, which is it perfect copy, not only incorporated into our lives, but written into us by its author, Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that that can occur in the construct of Christianity and its gospel of grace, which is wholly opposed to Yahweh's Torah, you're dreaming. Let go of your religion. Embrace the Torah. Come to know Yahweh. Look past the caricature that has become the Christian Jesus Christ. See Yahweh as he really is. Come to know him. He is a righteous dude. Approachable, loving, humble. He is just so unique in that he not only talks the talk, he walks the walk. He's willing to get down on his knees to lift you and me up. He just wants to be dad. Let him. Come to know him. Come to understand the five conditions of the covenant and embrace them so that you can receive the benefits of the covenant. We've gone over these before and we'll review them again, but they are fairly straightforward. God asks us to walk away from politics and religion, from patriotism, from militarism. Walk away from our country. Walk away from the family of man. Instead of relying upon human institutions, he says, I want you to come to trust and rely on me. That's the second condition of the covenant. The first being to walk away from religion and politics, from Babylon. The third is to walk to Yahweh to become perfect. There's a seven-step path. It begins with the doorway of life called Pesach, Passover, and concludes with the celebration of camping out with God, Sukkah, which we are in the final days now of Sukkah. That is where it concludes. Walk along that path. It is the second step along that path on matzah, on yeasted bread, that we become perfect. And then God says, please, observe the covenant. Come to understand its terms and conditions, because it is then that you can choose to participate in this relationship. We'll talk about the last condition of the covenant and its benefits in the last moment of this program. Welcome back to Shatteringness. I'm going to quickly go through the final condition of the covenant for our participation and then review its benefits. And then we have Mark calling in from New York. The fifth of five conditions to participate in the covenant is that we as parents are asked to circumcise our sons. And the reason we do so is so that they remember and we remember the covenant and that we bring up our children so that they prioritize their relationship with God. The five benefits of the covenant are fulfilled in the first four Moed Mikre. They are eternal life, perfection, which is achieved through matzah on yeasting bread. The next is Bakurim, which is firstborn children were adopted into our Heavenly Father's family. And then on Shabuah, the promise of seven, we are enriched with His teaching and empowered by His Spirit. Those are the five benefits of the covenant. If those are appealing to you, then I would encourage you to accept its conditions. That being said, we have a first-time caller, I believe, Mark, who is calling in from New York. Welcome to Shattering Myths, Mark. How can we help?
Actually, second time, buddy.
Okay, well, thank you then. Thank you for calling back. Excuse me for not recognizing your name from New York.
No. Actually, earlier you bring up the word grateful to the people and the listeners, what they're doing. Well, I'm grateful to you for a few things as well. And one is to release that yoke that I had around my neck with the religious thing.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned the Garden of Eden, I'm concentrating on that. My life has been simplicity.
Yes. Yes.
It's a floodgate of knowledge that came in.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for you to point out on my uncompassed roadmap that, hey, look at that Garden of Eden there. And I'm 54.
Mm-hmm.
My heart's gone. I got about 18% left. But since I've been following the garden my entire life financially, it's an unload. It's an unload and a floodgate of empathy, love.
Yes.
And I've been working on that for a long time. And then I said, I'm working on something that was a waste of my time.
Yeah. The truth is, Mark, and you're right, that John's presentation of the conditions and the statements he makes relative to the Garden of Eden are so incredibly simple that all God wants to do is have a relationship with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants for us to enjoy His company. He wants to enjoy our company. And just as a father would do for his children, He wants to teach us. He wants to lift us up. He wants to help us grow. And so if you view Yahweh as the father of the children of the garden, Adam and Chawa, and if you view us as nothing more or less than His children, and that is your perspective of a God who wants nothing more from us than for us to come to know him, to want to spend time with him, to want to be part of his family, then it's that simple. It really is. And the entirety of the Torah and prophets simply exist to explain and enable that.
Thank you so, so much.
Well, you know, I want to make that point clear is that one of the reasons I do this program under the alias Yada, which is the Hebrew word to know in a relational sense, is that if I can be wholly transparent, and that what we're looking at is what did God say? Let's analyze and let's closely examine and carefully consider what he said, like we just did with this stunning statement in the midst of his prophet Jeremiah in 31:33, where God concludes it by saying, when I write the Torah inside of each of us who survived to his return, he says, and I shall be God to and for them, and they themselves shall be for me as family. God has brought it all back together. And it's Yahweh who has provided this teaching. It's Yahweh who has provided this opportunity. And so, you know, my hope is that I am nothing more than a transparent implement that helps
your
share.
Your picture's not even online. I try to look at you, and it's very smart. I love that idea.
Yeah.
I love that idea. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mark, for calling in a second time, and I appreciate the encouragement. It is the purpose of this program to do two things. One is, since the prerequisite of participating in the covenant with Yahweh is disengaging from Babylon, from the corruption of religion and politics, from militarism and economic schemes, and then to come to trust on Yahweh and to rely on him, to study his covenant, to answer his invitations. We begin the program by revealing the reasons that human institutions are not trustworthy, so that you understand why it is in your interest to follow God's advice, and then we present his advice and offer to all of us.